thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness, all that I've gotten out of the meeting. I'm Damar Randall from the Pacoima, California congregation. Invite you all to come out and visit us sometime. I know a lot of people have their thoughts and whatnot about California, but I just say it this way. I've invited several people throughout the time in that congregation, and they've come, and all I got to do is get you to come once. You'll come back. I don't have to ask you again. And if you don't believe me, I challenge you. Come out there. Anyhow, I want to talk about the word of the Lord. Lord gave me a thought earlier in the week about the heart. So that's what we intend to talk about. But before we get to the crux of it, I feel like the Lord gave me a little bit to set kind of a precedent or a background, so to speak. Starting in Proverbs, 4th chapter. We'll read verses 1 through 13, Proverbs 4. I ask that you be praying that the Lord would bless and undertake. Starts off, the writer says, "Hear ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." As I was thinking about this, the writer says, I'm going to give you a law, give you a commandment. In my line of work, in law enforcement, laws are not meant to be broken. It's not something that we are to cross. It is something that we are to pay attention to and to take heed to. So the writer here says that I'm going to give you a commandment. I'm going to give you something that you should not cross, something that you are in desperate need of as you go along life's way, and that is to get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom, the ability to discern things, the wisdom to make the right choices. James, the writer in James, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, again, still establishing the background here, James 3, 15 through 18. Someone gets it before me, feel free.
"This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work."
Yes.
"But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace."
Amen. So there's a wisdom that is of this world. Their wisdom that is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is chaste, it's holy, it's clean, it's not stubborn. But the wisdom of the world is devilish. I was thinking about wisdom. I had an occasion just before, probably a week or two before the meeting at work, where I was told to go to a particular place there at the prison I work at, and there was an inmate that I was supposed to be escorting. So I got there, and I made contact with the other officer and whatnot, and that officer removed the handcuffs from the inmate. He was in a secured area. And when he did that, the inmate then turned to me and said, "Randall, I'm not leaving until you get the lieutenant, the captain, and the warden over here to talk to me about a particular situation that was going on." Well, how do I deal with this? This is not something that I want to go to my supervisors and say, "I can't control this situation." So I started thinking, and the Lord started talking to me, and so I told the individual. He was pretty adamant on his way that he wanted to go. Now, due to what was going on, and I won't go into the details, the lieutenant was going to come talk to him. It was the lieutenant had to talk to him anyhow. So I told him, I said, "Well, don't you think it would be the wiser choice for you to submit to what we're doing, submit to restraints and whatnot, and we go on our escort, versus you force these people to come out of their office before they're ready? They're not going to want to deal with you. They're going to choose, we're going to go in a different direction. We're just going to go in there, we're going to take you out of here, and we're going to go about our day. And the conversation is not going to be the same, the direction. You won't have that back and forth conversation with the superiors that you're wanting to talk to." Well, he struggled, and he was doing backflips in his mind. I could see him, and I was really praying, "Lord, please let this guy just make the best choice." And it was a struggle, and so he's sitting there, and he's like, "No, I'm not going to. I still want to go this route." I gave him one last opportunity. I said, "I'm telling you, if you go the route that you're going, things are not going to go the way that you're thinking they're going to go." In the end, he chose to submit to what I was requesting of him. And you know, the outcome for him was a whole lot better. Because like I told him, this and that is what's going to happen. You just have to go through the proper steps. But the wisdom of the world would like us to get impatient, like us to try to turn things into our own hands. But when we submit to the wisdom of God, we're choosing to follow after the path, whatever he has set up for us. So it's always best that we submit to the wisdom of the Lord. Well, how does this relate? Proverbs again, same chapter. Excuse me. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So here we have the writer telling us that He opened it up with talking about wisdom. And then he gave us a wise saying at the end. "Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard thy heart. Out of it are the issues of life." So I was thinking about the word heart. We've oftentimes heard the definition given as the seat of the emotions. Well, as I was thinking about, and the Lord was dealing with me about this, I found another definition one of the writers used. And it said it's the seat of our appetites. That struck something with me when we're talking about the heart. I started thinking about, well, what's an appetite? This is the things that we feed on. We have cravings, some desires. Every year around my birthday, some of the locals know, I get a craving for crab legs. I live probably about 40 miles from the beach, and you could go into any mom and pop shop and get a good size of crab legs for a pretty decent price. And so what do I every year? I go down there and I walk around and I could smell the seafood, and I love seafood. It's a wonderful thing. And so I go and I find me some crab legs. That's a craving that I have. My favorite dessert, some people know, is cheesecake. I have a craving for that every year for my birthday as well. And there's some people that I'm pretty close with. I could almost guarantee, at least since I've been in my local congregation, and now almost 8-9 years since I've been in the Pacoima congregation, just about every year, a particular person makes me a cheesecake. And it's a wonderful blessing. These are the things that I crave. And you all have your cravings for food, the foods that you desire, the things that you want to give into, you know, those people that are on diets. I have been talking with someone at work, and they were on a diet, and they took a little bit of a cheat day. They had a craving, something that they wanted. That's what they desired. That was what their appetite. They were craving Wendy's. I don't understand all of that, but that's what they were desiring. They wanted some Wendy's, it was Taco Bell, even worse. But these are what this person was craving, and they went out of their way to get what their craving was. If we don't keep our heart with all diligence, there are some things that our hearts will crave for, and we will yield to that if we are not careful. If we don't keep our heart, if we don't obtain this wisdom to keep our hearts. So, in keeping our hearts, what does that mean? What does that look like? There are certain, I believe the word would be, parameters that the scripture gives us to know how to keep our hearts with all diligence. Yeah. And the reason we're wanting this is because, well, I have a goal. Yeah. I have an aim. I have a desire. I have something that I am looking forward to. I want to go to heaven. But is that my only desire? Is that I just want to go to heaven because I'm scared of hell? No. I have a desire to please the Lord. And so he's given us some commandments. Seek wisdom. Desire wisdom. Scripture says, I believe it's also in James, I might be wrong, but it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who giveth. He's willing to give you. So when it comes to our heart, he says, seek wisdom. And then when you seek it, keep thy heart with all diligence. Be careful about your heart. Guard it. We have the song, my soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise, and a host of hell are pressing hard to draw thee from thy skies. Oh, watch and fight and pray, the battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. I want to keep my heart with all diligence. I was really thankful. Well, I was really hopeful that several brethren have already touched on some of these things, and I thought maybe I got out of it. But nonetheless, we're going to turn over to 1 John, the second chapter. And I have to wonder sometimes, why do we hear some similar messages throughout a meeting? Sometimes that there can be, what was that, Brother Marvin? The Lord wants us to hear it. There's something special that he has for us. We have a song in our book. I want to say it's 98. The victory is mine. The chorus says, trust, trust, trust. And they keep repeating. These are things that we're trying to hammer, that the Lord is trying to hammer in. The writer was trying to hammer. Hey, you need to trust, trust, trust the Lord. Yeah. Well, we've heard this scripture multiple times in this meeting, to love not the world. Yeah. So do we think the Lord is maybe trying to get something over to us? I think this is probably a message that I hear about loving not the world pretty regularly. It's something that we always have to, because you know what? We're surrounded by them. We see the influences that they have, so we need these reminders. The writer says in 1 John, the 15th, or 2nd chapter, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Protect your heart. Well, what are we protecting it from? These things specifically. These are the things that we need to keep ourselves from, because they're tactics and tricks of the enemy. They're given by him to trip us up. The writer says about this verse, for the part that says, for all that is in the world, all that can boast of. This is all that the world has to offer. It doesn't have eternal life. The world doesn't have purity. The world doesn't even have fellowship like the people of God have. That is something that the world can't. You know, even within families, you go, there's so many families that have issues. We heard this morning about the man who got into a domesticated altercation with his own mother. That's not uncommon, unfortunately, in the world. So this is all that the world has to boast of, all that it can promise. It's only sensual, transient gratification. Even this promise, it cannot fulfill. I was thinking about some of the people that I know that imbibe those things of the world. I have a couple of friends who are, I'm not going to correct myself. They are my friends. They are people I work with, people I'm close with, people I talk to daily, people that I'm in battles with. But there have been times where they turn to the bottle. I have seen, not only in the line of work I'm in now, I've seen my family members that have chosen to go that route. And I've seen what the world has at the bottom of that bottle. By the time you get to the end of it and you think you're feeling good, I have found that that's where, and understand what I'm saying, but I have found that there's a lot of depression at the end of that bottle. I have found that it is only a very temporary erasing of a memory. It only fogs over that memory. And then the next day, that wears off, and now I need to get another one. I know some people who they drank so much, if they never drank a sip of alcohol again, they would still be drunk to this day. They choose to gratify the flesh, but that doesn't bring gratification, doesn't bring true gratification. So then it says the lust of the flesh, that sensual and pure desires, which seek after the gratification, this says in women, strong drink, delicious viands, and the likes. That's what the work of the flesh, and well, who can we relate to? Solomon, the writer in Proverbs. He said he was taught, these are the words of my father, to get wisdom, to understand these things. His writing, not mine. I can't write that good anyway. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Would not it have been wise for the wisest man to take heed to his own words? But yet, he failed. You can read it in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. Well, let's turn over there. We can hold our place in 1 John still. We'll turn over briefly to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, starting with verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You know, Solomon, would you say that on the surface it looked like something wise for him to have done? On the surface, well, I'm a ruler. I don't want issues with my enemies. If their daughters are here and I'm married to them, well, they're not going to come up against me. I'll create this vast kingdom. I'll have riches. He didn't act. These are the things that, well, what did James say? There's a wisdom that is devilish, unpure. But yet this is the direction the wisest man went. I'm going to seek after these things and I'm going to protect my kingdom. But in protecting his kingdom, he did not keep his heart. He didn't protect his heart. He didn't keep himself with all diligence. He allowed the lust of the flesh to step in there, and, well, we know his end. Solomon, we heard a bit about it this morning. A very mighty man through the strength of God. He was given a warning. He said, I want to take this woman. Go find me someone out there. Well, is there no one here in the camp of God's people? I don't want here. I want there. Chose to go out there. But even worse, when he went out there, he chose to flirt around. How many times did his Delilah come to him and say, give me the secret to thy strength? And how many times did he say, well, this is it? And then what did she do? Did she just keep that to herself? She tried to use it against him. I thought every time I've read that story, Samson, how many warnings do you need? She's seeking, she's trying, and she's telling you by how many times she's done this. And he kept flirting around with it until he got so far away from keeping his heart that, well, here's where my strength lies. Never cut my hair. I've never done these things. They came, cut his hair. They attacked him. And then we heard today that had he kept his heart with all diligence, maybe David wouldn't have had to face Goliath like he did. If we don't keep our heart with all diligence, that tells me that our choices has an effect on others. Our choice to not keep our heart with all diligence will have an effect on us, children, grandchildren, those that are in our inner circle, because we've chosen to go after the things that I desire. Is that wisdom? Is that the wise choice for us to do? No. We're told to keep our heart with all diligence. lust of the eyes, the inordinate desires after the finery, of every kind, gaudy dress, splendid houses, superb furniture. Nice things are nice. But do we desire those above God? Think about the rich man and Lazarus. He had a lot. But he made his choice as to what was of most importance to him. He didn't care. But what happened in the end? Yeah. Says Lazarus, angels carried him into Abraham's bosom after he passed away. And it says the rich man was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The lust of the eyes had caused him, he put all that stuff ahead of his heart. He put all that was the most important thing to him. Who else do we see in the scriptures that did that? I think about Judas. He was willing to, for 30 pieces of silver, I believe it was, chose which route he was going to go. That ought not be where the people of God. That's not wisdom. That's not keeping your heart. Just because you have I've heard of plenty of saints that have chosen, you know what? I can't take this job because I have a commitment to God. I can't do this. Money is not going to be my driving force. The fineries of life are not going to be my main goals and my purposes, my goals and my aims. My goal and my aim is that I got to keep my heart with all diligence. I got to do whatever it takes to protect my heart because I have a desire. And that desire is to please the Lord. The pride of life. Hunting after honors, titles, pedigrees. All the honorable things. Didn't it look honorable for Ananias and Sapphira to make the decisions they did? Well, I've sold all this. I'm willing to give it to the church. This is my desire. And yet, what happened? What was their end? Their choice to not keep their heart with all diligence. Do you see a pattern when we don't keep our heart? That it leads down a path of destruction, that it leads to a path of death when we don't choose to keep our hearts with all diligence. We have a responsibility to do whatever it takes on our part. We can't just sit back and think we're going to do all the unhealthy things, all whatever we want, and the Lord's just going to protect us. That's foolish. That's ridiculous thinking. That's like me choosing to eat cheesecake every single day and expecting that I am still going to be fit and healthy. That's foolish of me to think that I'm not going to have some issues with blood pressure and sugar because the Lord said he'll keep me. So I'm just going to have whatever I want to have and you can't tell me otherwise. But no, he told us. Keep your heart. Because out of this are the issues, are the problems of life if you don't keep your heart. There's enough problems while keeping your heart. Do you really want to add to by not keeping it? It's a wonderful privilege to be saved. It's a wonderful privilege, but I would be a liar if I said I don't have troubles. I don't have problems. But you know what I do have? I have one that I could go to in the midst of my problems and my troubles. The world, no, they just go out and they do it anything and everything that they want, and then they... I'm used to working in prison, so we're a little bit more harsher. So I was going to... They're used to just crying about their problems. They choose to go out and do these things, and then they... But they think that, no, we have a responsibility to God to keep our hearts. We have a responsibility on ourselves. Don't make this life any harder. Do not make this life any harder. That's what it takes to keep our hearts. Don't allow these things in. Don't allow the lust of the flesh, the desires of the world, the desire to look like the world, the desire to be like the world, the desire to allow some of those things to come in. No, there's danger. There's danger. There's plenty of warning signs. I often think, like I said, of Samson. How many warning signs? If you're driving down the road and the sign says road closure ahead, start merging left or start merging right, whichever way, but you keep going and say, I don't need that. I'm good. My driving skills are perfect. I can, and then next thing you know, because I've seen it happen, that one person that doesn't want to follow the rules and merge over, and then at the last second, they're trying to speed ahead of a diesel. We've seen it. And then it comes close to, well, it looks like they're about to have an accident. That's what happens. There's an accident we're going to have when we choose not to keep our heart with all diligence. But there's a blessed place. There is a reward for us when we choose to keep our hearts. When we choose not to yield to the things that the enemy has to offer. The things the enemy has to offer is nothing but dust. Just flies away. You can't grip it, can't take hold of it. The wind comes with any bit of trouble, and whatever he has to offer just, and then you're stuck there with the consequences. Psalms, the 15th chapter. I was really blessed by this. Psalms 15, we'll read the entire chapter. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, that doeth these things shall never be moved. He that keepeth his hearts with truth, that's going to be the person to inherit that kingdom. That's what it takes for us to make it to heaven. Because part of keeping my heart with all diligence is I'm going to ask the Lord to show me my heart. Show me what's in there. Show me if there's anything that is not of you. Show me if I'm going down a path that is not wise, a path that leads to nothing but destructions, Lord. It says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it, or something to that effect? The Lord does. The Lord, we have to allow the Lord to look inward. Lord, I need your help. You asked me to seek wisdom, and the best person that I could go to is you. I can't go to the things of this world. I try to be careful with some of the words we say. But I can't just go out to anybody, go to anything and everywhere to get wisdom, to get an understanding of what's going on inside. But the Lord, I believe there's a scripture, or maybe it's a part of a song that says, he knoweth the way that I take. Yes. He knows which ways I'm headed down. And I need his help. I need his guiding light to shine in my heart, to show me where I'm at. You want to be, we've heard the message this meeting, you want to be all in, give him your heart. You want to work for the Lord, give him your heart. You want to hear those blessed words he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye into the joys of the Lord, give him your heart. Allow him to rule your heart. But when we try to keep it in and of ourselves, When we try to do things in and of our own desires, when we try to take on the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we think those are going to lead nowhere but down the path of destruction. Yeah. May the Lord help us to ever, we have a song, ever keep heaven in view. Yeah. Lord, search my heart. I want to be found in your will. Not on the outskirts of your will. I want to be found in the center of your will. I want to be found doing that which is pleasing to you. I want to guard my heart because it's important. I want to guard what my appetites are, guard what I'm craving, not allow the things of this life to come in. You know, we've heard some about songs and about what we watch, and you know, those things do have an effect on us. We have to be careful what we allow in our hearts, because it can be to our detriment. Is that our desire? To just go along life's way, doing anything and everything I want, and hoping and praying that at the end, the Lord will deal with me, he'll forgive me. You know, we've heard of people that have come down to the end of life's way and they didn't have that opportunity to pray. They didn't have the opportunity to ask, Lord, search my heart. Lord, forgive me. Lord, whatever's in there, Lord, I need your help. That's the most, the writer said, seek wisdom. I can tell you that's the most unwise thing to do. To believe that we could stay on the enemy's territory for the entirety of our life and come down at the last second and try to plead. I'm not saying it can't happen. It can. But I don't think that's the wisest way to go. I wouldn't want to stake my salvation on me trying that. That I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to live any old kind of way that I want. And then I'm going to have the expectation that I'm going to reach the Lord in time to clear all this stuff up. Not everybody has that opportunity. It's not the best course of action. We want to do that which is the wisest. And the wisest thing to do is now. Seek wisdom. Give your heart over to him and ask him. Like the writer said, we could turn there. That'll be the last scripture I have. Psalms 139, I think it's verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Why did we spend almost an entire 10 days in Missouri? You know, I have friends at home. I don't have to travel to see. I love you all, don't get me wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I have friends at home. Yeah. I could socialize with. I have things I could be doing back home. Trust me, there's a lot of projects I have down back home, at the campgrounds, in my own home, things that I could. But why'd I come here? Because I want the Lord to search me. Yeah. Go through my life, Lord. I want to live so careful, so close to you, Lord, if there's anything in me that you can put your finger on and tell me, you need to straighten this out. This is not with all diligence if you continue to allow this there. Lord, I need your help because I have a desire to please you. I have a desire to go to heaven. May the Lord help us. We're coming to the close of the meeting. But it's not too late to deal with the Lord. Or rather, shall I say, for the Lord to deal with you. If there's anything that we have in our life, any area of our heart that's not uncovered, any part of us that we need the Lord to move in, or we just need him to just search us, Lord, reveal it to me. I don't want to go away from here lost. I don't want to come back to Monarch of 2024 still in the same place that I was in Monarch of 2023 and the times gone past. I want to have grown. I want to be deeper in you. I want to be all in, fully consecrated. Lord, move about within my entire being. And if you see anything, I'm asking you and your Holy Spirit to go through my life, go through my body. We've heard it, go through my phone, go through whatever you want to put in there. Lord, I need you to go through because I want to keep my heart with all diligence because I have a desire and I want to make heaven my home. That's my prayer. You pray for me.